हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 8. Did everyone get?
No.
No.
Only VIP.
No. I see.
Okay.
She's the self-help service.
I see. Okay. Okay. Balyamars continued, O great sage, great saintly persons like you, being completely aware of the Vedic principles for performing ritualistic ceremonies and yajñas, worship Lord Vishnu in all respects, in all circumstances. Therefore, whether that same Lord Vishnu has come here to give me all benedictions or to punish me as an enemy, I must carry out his order and give him the requested tract of land without hesitation. Srila Prabhupada comments. As stated by Lord Shiva, Aradhanam sarvesham Vishnur aradhanam param tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samacharam. Tadiyanam samarchanam. Oh, okay, that's what it's with a C. Samarchanam. Okay. Padma Purana. Although in the Vedas there are recommendations for worshipping many demigods, Lord Vishnu is the supreme person, and worship of Vishnu is the ultimate goal of life. The Vedic principles of the Varnashram institution are meant to organize society to prepare everyone to worship Lord Vishnu. Varnashrama chara vata purushena para puman Vishnur aradyate panta nanya tat tosha karanam Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila 8:58. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, is worshipped by the proper execution of prescribed duties in the system of Varna and Ashrama. There is no other way to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vishnu Purana 3:8-9. So then, Chaitanya Charitamrita in the Madhya Lila, so that means when Lord Chaitanya is preaching. So then, quoting from Vishnu Purana, then he's giving this. So the context is, but it's about satisfying the Supreme Lord. It's not that Varnashram itself is the way. It's organizing that you're following these in connection with the Lord. That's what makes it work. Does that make sense? So we see here is that idea that Lord Chaitanya now kicked out Varnashram. Then why would he be saying this? Does that make sense? One must ultimately worship Lord Vishnu, and for that purpose the Varnashram system organizes society into Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, Brahmacharis, Grihasthas, Vanaprasthas, and Sannyasis. Bali Maharaj, having been perfectly educated in devotional service by his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, knew how things are to be done. He was never to be misguided by anyone, even by a person who happened to be his so-called spiritual master. This is the sign of full surrender. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, Marabi Rakabi Jo Icha Tohara Nityadas Prati Tuya Adhikar. When one surrenders to Lord Vishnu, one must be prepared to abide by his orders in all circumstances, whether he kills one or gives one protection. Lord Vishnu must be worshipped in all circumstances. Right? So that's the whole principle, is that all these things must be understood. Right? So he's understanding how the whole Varnashram system, that's why he doesn't have a problem with that now his spiritual master, being a Paka Brahman, has not been understood the worship of the Vishnu, and therefore he's throwing out the whole system, right? Because we get that comes up as that, oh, this went wrong, how can I have respect for authority or for the Brahmins or for the Kshatriyas or like whatever it is. So it keeps going back and forth. But the principle is that it's about worshiping Krishna. So in here, what's the weakness? Sukhacharya, his brahminical standing is not a weakness. The weakness is the connection to Vishnu. So all it is you have to add this. Not that it's not there. It'd be like, let's say, you have a bottle and it should have water in it. So if there's no water in it, it doesn't mean that there's a problem with the principle of bottles. No, just put some water in it, right? You go to the refrigerator and there's no water in the bottle, right? So if you live in a family with especially a lot of siblings, that's the standard, right? Of course, there's the rule, whoever drinks the last bit of water, but if you look really carefully, if you turn the bottle sideways, there is one tablespoon of water in there. So the last person who drank did not drink all of it. Therefore, they were not obliged to refill it, right?
Yeah,
of course. So, like that. But we don't lose... The point is there's the character. There's more to be added. The more to be understood. So that's what we're trying to do. That's why Bali Mars can deal properly with him as a Brahmin, but at the same time have the stance of, you know, devotional service. So this now we're able to deal. One is that, you know, you have this ideal situation that you're dealing, and then from that devotional platform you're dealing. But then when you have what's happening within our system, and there's seeming discrepancies that you can still deal properly. Is that because before, up to now, is they've had bogus gurus, but then they've met the bona fide guru and they've given that up in the situation. But here, we've never seen that interaction and that dealings. Now we're seeing it for the first time. Right? Prachina Barhishat and other like that, they've dealt with this kind of situation, but now we're seeing how it's dealt with. Yes.
Can we say that Bali Maharaj was dealing properly with Shukracharya as a Brahman, but he rejected him on the level of devotional service?
Yes. Means as far as the yajna goes and all this and dealing with him and him getting charity, that's not there. But that's not to be rejected. But this principle of him trying to extend the karmakanda aspects over onto devotional service, that he's rejected. So then he's just he's dealing on the platform of pure devotional service, and so then come what may, like that. But the other is saying, no, then you'll lose all your material facilities, how you'll engage in karma. But the point is no, it's about bhakti. You're only using the tools of karma to serve the Lord. But if at some point they get in the way of that service, then that adjustment is there.
I was just thinking, by his appearance, Lord Vamanadev, he puts both parties in a difficult situation.
Yes. It's because Sukracharya has to kind of go, you know, like this. And because, you know, here's Vishnu, you have to deal properly. Like you said, all of the yajnas are all geared towards Vishnu. Like we see is that, who is more expert at Karmakanda than Daksha? You know, so he's always the aspect up there. So even in Daksha's yajna, when he didn't invite Shiva and Brahma, he still left Vishnu. Right, like that. But yes, and now Bali Maharaj is, that's always the part of, that's the whole thing, is how well the devotee will deal, and he'll surrender and he'll get all benefit, and then the weakness, that Sukracharya. You know, so we'll see Bali Maharaj's strength and how he's situated, and the weakness and how Sukracharya is situated. Like that. So without devotional service, one can't actually have all those good qualities, right? Because we're trying to engage good, we're trying to, with the proper attitude, which means good qualities, use our skills and knowledge in Krishna's service. But the point is you can actually only have really good qualities in that are sustainable if there's devotional service. Because it's the only thing that will actually bring those out that are the nature of the soul rather than just the conditioning. Because the conditioning, yes, you'll develop it over long, you know, many, many lifetimes. But in devotional service, then you can develop it over a short time. Is that, yeah. Bali Maharaj continued, although he is Vishnu himself, out of fear he has covered himself in the form of a brahmana to come to me begging. Under the circumstances, because he has assumed the form of a brahmana, even if he irreligiously arrests me or even kills me, I shall not retaliate, although he is my enemy. Because there's that in Manu, someone even there dressed as a Brahmin, though they're not a Brahmin, and you deal with them as a Brahmin, then whatever benefits that you're offering them, you'll get the return of double. Just because it's out of consideration of the Brahminical, etiquette. Like that. Even though there's no benefit more of giving them, they're just like a common beggar. You give them as it would be the same. But because you're respecting them in that position, you'll get double. Like that. So he's pointing this out. It's because he's in this, just like Jarasandha. Because Krishna and Arjuna and Bhima came as dressed as Brahmins, therefore, even though he knew who they were, he'll give what they... Because once they revealed who... He said, okay, I'll give you. Once they revealed who they were, he could have said, well, you cheated, so I don't have to maintain this. You know, technically, he's not under any obligation. Right? By the rules that Sukracharya gave. But because they came as Brahmins and dealing that way, then he's taking this principle. So you had to hide yourself. So otherwise, if he's working on the principle that my prowess is so great, they had to hide themselves to kind of come in and get close and feel comfortable to be able to deal like that. So Vamanadeva's done the same thing. So therefore, I will deal with them as a Brahmin. So there's also that aspect of that Kshatriya kind of, someone's come as a Brahmin, I will deal with them in that way.
Prabhupada's father used to...
Yeah, bring all those sadhus, yeah. So he'd deal with them, yeah. Though we never heard if any of them were actually up to standard.
Because his frustration was then when he met Bhaktisiddhanta, so he said, I met so many sadhus already, but they were all, different kind of sadhus.
Okay, so there never had been one properly.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then his father used to say, this is my child, Radharam is mercy.
Yeah. Yeah, so at least they'll be well-wishing. It adds to the pile, right? Srila Prabhupada comments. If Lord Vishnu, as he is, had come to Bali Maharaj and asked him to do something, Bali Maharaj certainly would not have refused his request. But to enjoy a little humor between himself and his devotee, the Lord covered himself as a Brahmin, a Brahmachari, and thus came to Bali Maharaj to beg only three feet of land. Wow. Never thought of it like that. He's so small that... Yeah, so if his shoulder is here, that means his foot would be here, and then if it's like that, yeah, 1 foot. He's a 1 foot step. So we were saying, it's only 3 feet.
Yeah, it's less than a meter.
Less than a meter. it's like 90 centimeters. Yeah. So. Bali Maharaj continued, if this Brahmin really is Lord Vishnu, who is worshipped by Vedic hymns, he would never give up his widespread reputation. Either he would lie down having been killed by me, or he would kill me in a fight. Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarty comments. Bali Maharaj says, since he is certainly the Lord of fame, he will not give up his fame. If I say I will not give land, and then, not tolerating a broken promise, request a fight and I accept, he will kill me in battle and take the land. Right. So anyway, Sukracharya replies, but he may be defeated by you since you are a great warrior. Bali Maharaj responds, then he will lie down in battle killed by me. He will never lie down in battle since Vishnu cannot be killed. Though the sentence is expressed in the negative, it has a positive sense. Because even then the whole thing, the point is it all works out. Bali Maharaj is making these presentations that it'll work out anyway. Like that. Verses 14 to 20. Sukracharya curses Bali Maharaj. So I guess he didn't appreciate his presentation. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, thereafter the spiritual master Sukracharya, being inspired by the Supreme Lord, cursed his exalted disciple Bali Maharaj, who was so magnanimous and fixed in truthfulness that instead of respecting his spiritual master's instructions, he wanted to disobey his order. Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarty Thakur comments, Ashradhitam means he developed lack of faith. Developed lack of faith. So that means he had to have faith in the first place. So that's, I guess it's something beyond our understanding, because, you know, didn't we, I say, at our appearance, faith was not included. You know, when you get a package and it's got comes with batteries or like that, we didn't come with faith. Daiva Prahita means that Sukracharya was influenced by previous offense unfavorable for developing the bliss of prema to the Lord. Satya Sandam Manasvinam means Bali wanted to fulfill his promise and had an exalted mind. Okay, so he developed a lack of faith, and then that influenced by a previous offense unfavorable for developing Krishna consciousness, that then had him develop lack of faith, therefore then it went into this. So it was all, you know, how you say, coming from the Lord.
Which was the previous offense?
That it doesn't mention, but it does say that there was. Sri Sukadeva, I'm sure there's some story there, but I don't know it. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, although you have no knowledge, you have become a so-called learned person, and therefore you dare be so impudent as to disobey my order. Because of disobeying me, you shall very soon be bereft of all your opulence. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, Pandita Mani can also mean respected amongst the learned. Right, so he's using it in a negative sense. Oh, now you become such that, you know, the topmost of the pundits. But at the same time is that he's discussing what he is. He is the topmost of the pundits, because of all the great pundits, and Sukracharya is in the top category, and he is surpassed him in understanding. Therefore, we can see is that he technically is. So again, it's all these aspects where you have words that are used in one context, but actually they're meaning the other. Okay. Agya can also mean above whom no one has knowledge. But otherwise it means no knowledge, right? Asmad upekshaya can mean because of my disregard for the Lord. Because of his own, right, rather than the other way, disregard for me, right? Stabda can mean fixed because of lack of fear. Right. Okay, because when one has no fear, then one becomes fixed, like that. Because that's the whole point, is as long as there's fear, being fixed is not there. Because fear means fear of our identity as servant of Krishna. That's actually what fear means. Because we're more attached to our own identity. So we can understand is if we identify that I'm not, you know, we're devotees, but we're not from, you know, our particular ethnicity, then makes it that we can't follow any of these Vedic principles. Then the problem is that identity will always create fear. And because of that fear, one will not become steady in devotional service. So it's not a recommended process. Thus, the other meaning is as follows. Because of surpassing my order and going to Vishnu, soon you will not lose your wealth for a long time. You'll attain the eternal wealth given by Vishnu. Right? So if you've taken and put it into the other meaning, then that's what he said. So even though it appears like a curse, because it's also coming from, you know, inspired by the Lord, it also then has the blessings. So it has the secondary form of a curse, but the primary form is a blessing. So we see is both happen. Yes.
Shukracharya knew about it,
or
that's Sarasvati?
No. That's the thing. Srila Prabhupada comments. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Bali Maharaj was not Pandit Mani, or one who falsely assumes himself learned. Rather, he was Pandit Manyaya, one who was so learned that all other learned persons worship him. And because he was so learned, he could disobey the order of his so-called spiritual master. He had no fear of any condition of material existence. Right? Because otherwise people don't do something because of fear. But here it's that he had no fear. So, Anyone cared for by Lord Vishnu does not need to care about anyone else. Thus, Bali Maharaj could never be bereft of all opulences. The opulences offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead are not to be compared to the opulences attained by Karma Kanda. In other words, if a devotee becomes very opulent, it is to be understood that his opulence is a gift of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such opulence will never be vanquished, whereas the opulence achieved by one's fruit of activity may be vanquished at any moment. Right? Because there's a time that it's there, and then there's a moment that it'll be gone. And it's not that it has to dwindle, it can disappear suddenly, or it may slowly go out, or, you know, any variety of ways it can go out, you know, whether it's got its hat tipped and is doing, you know, it's got its cane and it's going off nicely off stage, or whatever it is, it doesn't matter, it'll go. Yes, you know, or you have the hook, you know.
The opulence achieved by one's stupid activity may be vanished at any moment.
Yes.
The same thing happened with Bali Maharaj, you know.
You could say, but because it's coming with the Lord, that's the external thing that would appear. So those on the materialistic platform would think. But because it's actually, he's a devotee, so whatever he has is actually by the grace of the Lord, then it will go by what the Lord feels is the best for the situation. So he may have that, he may go along, but that opulence will never be vanquished. The only one that can make an adjustment in it is Krishna. Other people try to make it, then they can't do anything. So that's the whole thing. But if Krishna wants, then of course it can disappear. But it's not under the laws of karma like things on the fruiter platform. That's the difference. It's in a different category. Okay. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued. Even after being cursed in this way by his own spiritual master, Bali Maharaj, being a great personality, never deviated from his determination. So it's not that he got afraid then, and then, you know, okay, no, please, forgive me, and like this. No, he had his determination. Thereafter, according to custom, he first offered water to Vamanadeva, and then offered him the gift of land he had promised. Footnote 3. Srila Jiva Goswami comments to verse 16 in Priti Sandarbha, Anucheda 162. The Dana Vira Rasa, Rasa of giving charity, in relation to love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This rasa is of two kinds. One, giving charity very liberally, bahu, pradatva, and two, giving away in charity one's own valuable possessions. Possessions attained with great difficulty. Samutita, dura, parta, tyag. The first of these, the bahu, pradatva, Dana Vira Rasa, will be considered. In this rasa, the alambana is the conclusion that great satisfaction comes from giving charity. For the person very eager to give charity, the vishaya, object of love, is Lord Krishna. Here the adhara, lover, is the devotee. Other persons who give charity, persons who are not devotees, give charity only externally, bahiranga. Here the udipanas are seeing charity and other like things. The anubhavas are the smile that comes from giving in charity more than the recipient could have desired. Other like responses are also included here amongst the anubhavas. The vyavicharis are thoughtfulness, eagerness, joy, and other like emotions. The stai bhava is eagerness to give charity, because it's the dhanavirya rasa. Right? Eagerness impelled by love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's the, I say, the rasa of what's going on. Is that what it says? So he's saying we're considering the first one is he's giving something very, you know, giving very liberally. So it wasn't, because this is not the charity of something very difficult and stuff like this. It's just, you know, it's very, very, whatever you want, take and that. So it's not that he's looking at it, so this is there and this is something I've gotten and I want to give that. That's a different flavor. Like that. This is just, he's come, give charity, he wants to give. And so, therefore, the Lord is the you know, one that you, how you say, the alambana, and then the how you say, the desire to, the opportunities and things that are connected with charity. So here's a Brahmin, here's a Kshatriya, here's the Yajna, here's an opportunity for charity, you know, as a Brahmachari. So all these will be the Udipan. Like that, and then from that, from giving in charity, then, you know, that smile, that satisfaction that comes along with those, the transitory, because that will be the main ones, and then the transitory will be the thoughtfulness, the eagerness, the joy, and other things like that, because they come up at different moments depending upon how the interaction's going. Does that make sense? That's the difference between the Vyabhichari and the Anu Bhavas. The Vyabhichari Bhavas, they're transitory within the Anu Bhava. The Anu Bhava is the main emotion that's being felt, and the Vyabhichari, the secondary that are being felt. So those will come up and down all within one general mood. Does that make sense? But in here, it doesn't. He didn't get into it that there's any sattvika bhavas or things like that. So it seems to be because the dhanavirya rasa, then it has more of a soberness, more of a formalness. So it doesn't seem to, you know, create. It doesn't seem to affect physically one. So therefore, there's these other symptoms. Didn't make sense.
Anubhava is physical, isn't it?
It's a mental mood that has a physical effect, but it's not. It's from the mental mood. The sattvika means that it's a adjustment in the prana, in the life, life airs. That then directly affects the body. So sometimes you see the two are the same. The ones described in the sattvika and the ones described in Anubhava sometimes are the same. But it's just a matter of what they're coming from, like that. Okay, so yeah. So basically, as those will be more prominent, and then the Vyabhicharis, those will be the secondary, transitory. So then those three. Then you have the Stai Bhava, that's the fixed one, so that's not changing. And then you have the Vibhava, is what's causing the rasa to actually be the dynamic element of it. So it's caused, and then the other three are the effects. Right? Does that make sense? So in other words, it's basically you have this Stai Bhava will be the Sambandha, the Vibhava will be the Abhideya, and then the other three will be the Prayojana. Like that. You know, main mental, secondary mental, and physical. Like that. So, yeah. Bali Maharaj's wife, known as Vindhyavali, who was decorated with a necklace of pearls, immediately came and had a large golden water pot brought there, full of water with which to worship the Lord by washing his feet. Footnote 4. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes to verse 19, Bali's wife was extremely shy, unexposed even to the sun, but was unable to conceal her agitation because of joy. She shed tears of joy on understanding the firm bhakti of her husband. Thus, ignoring maidservants, she personally came, carrying a pot out of the confines of her room. Some say that jalaka means jasmine buds, and others say it means tender fruit with flowers. Amar Kosh says that the neuter word means a net. Sridhar Swami says it means a type of pearl necklace. She carried a pot full, Britam, of water for washing his feet. Yeah, type of pearl necklace. Yeah. So then, yeah, because jasmine buds, generally when you make jasmine bud flowers, it's put together like a necklace. So, yeah, so you get the kind of thing. Yes, so generally she would always be inside, she would never come out. Like that. That's why we would see in these great palaces and that everything that you could want to do or that is all within them. So the women would never have to leave. They could do everything inside and then not be disturbed. So even they're going out, they would be careful even where they're going out. They'd use umbrellas and all these different things. So when it says, you haven't even been seen by the sun, technically means they haven't been seen by the sun. Okay. Yes?
From the low planetary system.
But they're here now. This is happening on the Earth. Oh, I see. You're just having some fun. Yeah, okay.
But she was not exposed.
Okay. That's another interpretation. Yes. Okay. Okay. Bali Maharaj, the worshipper of Lord Vamanadeva, jubilantly washed the Lord's lotus feet. Right, so his wife came and brought the water pot. He washed the feet. Jubilantly, Bali Maharaj, the worshipper of Lord Vamanadeva, jubilantly washed the Lord's lotus feet and then took the water on his head. for that water delivers the entire universe. At that time, the residents of the higher planetary system, namely the demigods, the Gandharvas, the Vidyadharas, the Siddhas, the Charanas, all be very pleased by Balimarsa's simple, non-duplicious act, praised his qualities, and showered upon him millions of flowers. Right? So you can see as they appreciated, maybe Sukracharya didn't, but that was also inspired by the Lord. Because otherwise, as a Brahmin, he might have just, okay, well, it's your life, you know, because he's a Brahmin, he's independent. So then, you know, he may have to go elsewhere, because if he loses everything, he's no longer the king, there'll be the next king, he'll be the king, he'll be the guru for him. So, but the Lord inspired it that it would go this way. Yes.
Regarding Krishna karma.
Yes.
We can also always say that the Lord inspires the actions in our own lives, if it's Krishna karma, to go a certain way. Can we, or that's too ambitious?
Means he's a super soul is always there giving instruction and all that, and whether we take it or not. So, but we have to be very careful in that, that it's by his grace that these things, I'm going there, in other words, by his arrangement, these things are happening for my benefit. But if we take it, well, he instructed me, I did this, it went like that, so it's his fault, then that we would not do that. Like that. So it has its place, yes. In other words, there is a mood that one could see like that, but you have to be careful. It fits that in that particular way. Because as you see here, he gave the Dhanavirya Rasa, and he gave all the aspects about it. It's all connected. So even though it's all has that spontaneous aspect to it, the natural aspect, it has natural forms. That's why in the Varnashram system, what it's about is to see that the natural forms are there so that the natural rasa that would be there is able to have its natural manifestation. But, you know, the modern world, since it's not interested in rasa, it's only interested in sense gratification, therefore there's not a scientific understanding of this, and so they don't connect all this together. So it's just seeming, it gets in the way of my sense gratification now. They don't understand it will actually support it later. Because mode of goodness means it's trouble now, it's good later. Mode of passion, I get now, and then later it's a problem. Right? The Gandharvas, the Kimpurushas, and the Kinaras sounded thousands and thousands of kettle drums and trumpets again and again. Right? So this is, we can see, even greater than the, you know, so many other times that we've heard of them doing this. This was like very, very special. And they sang in great jubilation, declaring, how exalted a person is Balimarsh, and what a difficult task he has performed. Even though he knew that Lord Vishnu was on the side of his enemies, he nonetheless gave the Lord the entire three worlds in charity. Right, so it hasn't happened yet, but everybody knows what's going to happen. Right? Sukracharya already said it's going to happen. Balimarsh understood it, that's what's going to happen. And everybody else knows that that's why he went there. So, yeah. Verses 21 to 34. Lord Vamanadeva extended himself into a universal body. Sri Sukadev Goswami continued, the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had assumed the form of Vamana, then began increasing in size, acting in terms of the material energy, until everything in the universe was within his body, including the earth, the planetary systems, the sky, the directions, the various holes in the universe, the seas, the oceans, the birds, beasts, human beings, the demigods, and the great saintly persons. I wonder what the holes are. Black holes are just part of the scene. See, it's like it's always been there. You know? because they say it's because they suck up the planets, but all those stars. But the point is those stars are all people on the heavenly planets. When their time is up, it has to go somewhere. So if they get sucked into a black hole, then hey. Srila Prabhupada comments. Balimarsh wanted to give charity to Vamanadeva, but the Lord expanded his body in such a way that he showed Balimarsh that everything in the universe is already in his body. Actually, no one can give anything to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for he is full in everything. Sometimes we see a devotee offering Ganges water to the Ganges. After taking his bath in the Ganges, the devotee takes a palmful of water and offers it back to the Ganges. Actually, when one takes a palmful of water from the Ganges does not lose anything. And similarly, if a devotee offers a palmful of water to the Ganges does not increase in any way. But by such an offering, the devotee becomes celebrated as the devotee of Mother Ganges. Because right? All there is the Lord, so you have to take what is the Lord's, give it back to the Lord. So it's the devotion which is done. That's the actual point. That's me. Similarly, when we offer anything with devotion and faith, what we offer does not belong to us, nor does it enrich the opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if one offers whatever he has in his possession, he becomes a recognized devotee. In this regard, the example is given that when one's face is decorated with a garland and sandalwood pulp, the reflection of one's face in a mirror automatically becomes beautiful. The original source of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is our original source also. Therefore, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead is decorated, the devotee and all living entities are decorated automatically. So when we give everything to the Lord, then it's also still there in the reflection. So we still have it. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Bali Maharaj, along with all the priests, acharyas, and members of the assembly, observed the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Godhead's universal body, which was full of six opulences. That body contained everything within the universe, including all the gross material elements, the senses, the sense objects, the mind, intelligence, and false ego, the various kinds of living entities, and the actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature. Srila Prabhupada comments. In Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matas sarvam pravartate, Bhagavad Gita 10.8. Krishna is the origin of everything, vasudevas sarvam iti, Bhagavad Gita 7.19. Krishna is everything, matstani sarva bhutani nachaham teshva vastitaha, Bhagavad Gita 9.4. Everything rests in the body of the Lord, yet the Lord is not everywhere. Mayavadi philosophers think that since the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, has become everything, he has no separate existence. Their philosophy is called Advaitavad. Actually, however, their philosophy is not correct. Here, Bali Maharaj was the seer of the Personality of Godhead's universal body, and that body was that which was seen. Thus, there is Advaitavad. There are always two entities, the seer and the seen. Right? So he becomes everything. That includes everything, but still Bali Maharaj can see the Lord being everything. So that's the point. There's always two. The seer is part of the whole, but he is not equal to the whole. The part of the whole, the seer, is also one with the whole, but since he is but a part, he cannot be the complete whole at any time. This achinta beta beta, simultaneous oneness and difference, is the perfect philosophy propounded by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? So all the different points that are made in the Bhagavatam, they so perfectly are able to be explained so simply with achinta beta beta tatra. With dwait, vishishta dwait, vishuddha dwait, and dwait advait, you can also explain them all. But it's so much simpler to explain them in achinta beta beta tatra. That's why you see our purports are many times shorter than the other acharyas, just because of this point. Because you're using achinta beta beta tattva to explain it, so it's easy, it's more direct to explain. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that the following eight verses describe the Lord's form. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, thereafter, Bali Maharaj, who was occupying the seat of King Indra, could see the lower planetary systems, such as Rasatala, on the soles of the feet of the Lord's universal form. He saw in the Lord's feet the surface of the globe, on the surface of his calves all the mountains, and on his knees the various birds, and on his thighs the varieties of air. Right? And that's, we haven't even got up farther. He's already up to just air. Srila Prabhupada comments, the universal situation is described herein in regard to complete constitution of the Lord's gigantic universal form. The study of this universal form begins from the soul. Above the soles are the feet, above the feet are the calves, above the calves are the knees, and above the knees are the thighs. See, so this is the thighs. Then you can, yeah, you understand, because you start from the Lord's feet and you go up. Right? In the contemporary song, you're starting from up and going down. But it's actually the other way around. Right? Thus, the parts of the universal body, one after another, are described herein. The knees are the place of birds, and above that are the varieties of air. The birds can fly over the mountains, and above the birds are varieties of airs. Right? So you have the surface of the planet, then you have the mountains as the calves, then at the knees you have the birds, but at the thighs you have the varieties of air, because they're above the birds. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued. Right, so everything that Krishna does is consistent. Because it's all, everything's him, so therefore it's consistently going to be. But because he's unlimited, then the ways you can appreciate it, the angles and all that, then there's so many. So different sages at different times are appreciating different aspects, but they all have that same consistency. Understanding that consistency, that's anuchana. Right? So that's personalities like Narad Muni. They can do that. Very nice. We see Prabhupada, the acharyas, they're anuchana. They see everything across. So they never make it. One is they're liberated, so there's never any mistake. And two, they can just see everything all connected to the Lord. So that's why when they explain things so simply and all that, it's because they can see that everything that's simple. But at the same time, since we're more on the simple tongue platform, then we don't necessarily catch what's being said.
Huh? There are no contradictions.
Never any contradictions. There's never. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued. That's why it said apparent contradictions, but there aren't any. Mm. Bali Maharaj saw beneath the garments of the Lord, who acts wonderfully, the evening twilight. In the Lord's private parts he saw the Prajapatis, and in the round portion of the waist he saw himself with his confidential associates. In the Lord's navel he saw the sky, on the Lord's waist he saw the seven oceans, and on the Lord's bosom he saw all the clusters of stars. My dear king, on the heart of Lord Murari he saw religion, on the chest both pleasing words and truthfulness, in the mind the moon, on the bosom the goddess of fortune, and with a lotus flower in her hand. On the neck, all the Vedas and all the sound vibrations, because right? That means all sounds coming from, so it comes from the Lord.
Yes. This is the universal form?
Yes. So he can see it as the Lord and as the universal form. So it's all by the Lord's arrangement.
Sometimes it is said that the universal form is an imaginary form. Remember what we said?
Yes, means that you can see all these things. In other words, It's not a form as such, meaning just it's all there and, you know, it's all over here, because then the problem, the ocean's over here and the earth is down here, but the two have to meet. And the point is the sages, by the Lord's grace, can see all this together and all that. So in that way, it's...
So that's like we see the...
But it's not imagined, mean it doesn't exist.
It's like we see the stars and then we see some kind of, you know, the designs are there. So that's
yes.
What we see, actually, but...
Yes, but they do have, there is those forms. It's actually it's only because, it means, depends. If you're going by the Shastric ones, as you may or may not see the forms. Like Orion, it's a warrior and his belt and his sword and all that, but actually it's a deer that's you know, flat out with feet in the four directions that's been pierced by an arrow. Because it was Brahma who was following Rohini, right, the moon's favorite wife, because I guess of beauty. And he was seeing that, and then I don't know who it was, as a hunter, shot him like that. So that they mentioned the hunter, but what you're seeing is what has been hunted. You know, so it's slightly... Yes. Yeah, so that's where we have to be careful, is they'll say, oh, it's imagination, so we don't have to worry about it. You know, but if we work like that, is that, you know, the person, you know, has a material body, he has family, he has this, he has position, that's also imaginary. But that imaginary is illusion, while this imaginary is not. You know, so if we want to throw out imaginary, then we have to throw out everything. On the arms, all the demigods headed by King Indra. In both ears, all the directions. On the head, the upper planetary systems. On the hair, the clouds. In the nostrils, the wind. On the eyes, the sun. And in the mouth, fire. From his words came all the Vedic mantras. That's why when you offer, you're offering into the fires, into the mouth of Lord Vishnu. From his words came all the Vedic mantras. On his tongue was the demigod of water. Varunadev, right? That's how you can taste. Because if something's dry, there's no taste. You add water, it gets taste. On his eyebrows were the regulative principles. And on his eyelids were day and night. So when people raise their eyebrow, it's because the regulative principles are not being followed. Yes. And his, and on his eyelids were day and night. When the eyes were open, it was daytime, and when they are closed, it was night. On his forehead was anger, and on his lips was greed. O king, in his touch were lusty desires. In his semen were all the waters. On his back was irreligion. And in his wonderful activities or steps was the fire of sacrifice. On his shadow was death. In his smile was the illusory energy. And on the hairs of his body were all the drugs and herbs. Yeah, because it's, what he means, if someone smiles, then somehow or another, if there's any illusion, that's when it can work. You know, illusions don't work if everyone's frowning. Right? On his back was irreligion, and in his wonderful steps, activities or steps, was the fire of sacrifice. Right, so then Agni has 7 feet. Right? And he goes by the meters, the 7 Vedic meters, and that's how he moves. So it's, on his shadow was death. In his smile was the illusory energy, and on the hairs of his body were all the drugs and herbs. In his veins were all the rivers. On his nails were all the stones. In his intelligence were Lord Brahma, the demigods and the great saintly persons. And throughout his entire body and senses were all living entities, moving and stationary. Bali Maharaj thus saw everything in the gigantic body of the Lord. O king, when all the demons, the followers of Bali Maharaj, saw the universal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who held everything within his body, when they saw in the Lord's hand his disc, known as the Sudarshan Chakra, which generates intolerable heat, and when they heard the tumultuous sound of his bow, all these caused lamentation within their hearts. So everybody sees something different when you see the universal form. The Lord's conch shell named Panchajanya, which makes sounds like that of a cloud, the very forceful club named Kaumodaki, the sword named Vidyadhara, with a shield decorated with hundreds of moon-like spots, and also Akshaya Shayaka, the best of quivers. All these appeared together to offer prayers to the Lord. So Akshaya, generally means it's something to do with unlimited or...
Akshaya means that which is not destroyed.
Not with destroyed, well, that's what I'm saying. As a quiver is called that, so yeah. It's never, will never empty.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had the same. So otherwise, how does Nara and Narayan fight if they don't both have the same? Like that. All of these appeared together to offer prayers to the Lord. These associates, headed by Sunanda and other chief associates, and accompanied by all the predominating deities of the various planets, offered prayers to the Lord. So then you have the Lord themselves and how everything is in the Lord. Then all of his associates and paraphernalia are coming personified, offering prayers. So it's all happening. Okay, all the predominating deities of the various planets offered prayers to the Lord, who wore a brilliant helmet, bracelets and glittering earrings that resembled fish. On the Lord's bosom were the lock of hair called Srivatsa and the transcendental jewel named Kaustubha. He wore a yellow garment covered by a belt, and he was decorated by a flower garland, surrounded by bees. Manifesting himself in this way, O King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose activities are wonderful, covered the surface of the earth with one step, the sky with his body, and all directions with his arms. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 33. One might argue, quote, since Bali Maharaj promised Vamanadeva only the land occupied by his steps, why did Lord Vamanadeva occupy the sky also? In this regard, air rights, come on. In this regard, Srila Jiva Goswami says that the steps include everything, downward and upward. When one stands up, he certainly occupies certain parts of the sky and certain portions of the earth below his feet. Thus, there was nothing uncommon for the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he occupied the entire sky with his body. So much for air rights. Sri Sukadeva Goswami concluded, as the Lord took his second step, he covered the heavenly planets, and not even a spot remained for the third step. For the Lord's foot extended higher and higher beyond Maharjana, Tapa, and even Satyaloka. Srila Prabhupada comments, when the Lord's footstep extended the height of all the lokas, including Maharjana, Tapa, and Satya, his nails certainly pierced the covering of the universe. The universe is covered by the five material elements. Bhumar, Apo, Nalo, Vayu. Vayu, Kam. Bhagavad Gita 7.4. As stated in the Shastra, these elements are in layers, each 10 times thicker than the previous one. Nonetheless, the nails of the Lord pierced through all these layers and made a hole penetrating into the spiritual world. From this hole, the water of the Ganges infiltrated into this material world, and therefore it is said, Paranaka Nira Janita Jana Pavana. Dasavatara Stotra 5. Because the Lord kicked a hole in the covering of the universe, the water of the Ganges came into this material world to deliver all the fallen souls. He goes past it, but he keeps going past those through the whole universe, through the coverings, because that no one else can do. No one can get through. So one, to be able to take on that size, Hiranyakashipu could become quite big and all that, but he couldn't do this. So let's see. Conclusion. A useless guru, a family priest acting as guru, should be given up, and a proper bona fide guru should be accepted. Because the duty of the guru is to take the disciple back home, back to Godhead. So that's the thing. One can't do that. That's the point of it. The Yajnapatnis were the wives of ordinary Brahmins engaged in fruitive activities. Although the Brahmins were very learned and advanced in Vedic knowledge, they could not achieve the mercy of Krishna Balaram, whereas their wives achieved complete perfection in devotional service, despite their being women. Right? So here's the example, right? The point's made, then the reason is given, now the example. Then, one has attachment for everything material, especially one's land, but land, money, and possessions do not last. They will somehow or another be taken away. As long as they are in our possession, it's better to use them for charity, to a noble cause. Therefore, Balimars defied the order of his so-called spiritual master. Balimars also considered that Sukracharya was no longer to be accepted as a spiritual master, for he had deviated from the duty of a spiritual master. According to Shastra, the duty of the guru is to take the disciple back home, back to Godhead. If he's unable to do so and instead hinders the disciple in going back to Godhead, he should not be a guru. So Upanaya. So that brings us close to the Siddhanta, right? So you wrap up all those points before. Hence, anyone who's supposed to be a guru but goes against the principle of Vishnu Bhakti cannot be accepted as guru. If one has falsely accepted such a guru, one should reject him. So we made the point. There's one. Yeah. So therefore, if this is the position, then that position is given up. Chapter 21. Balimar is arrested by the Lord. A pure devotee has never deviated from the service of the Lord, despite all difficulties and impediments offered by the illusory energy. Right, so that's an important point. Now, in serving the Lord, so many impediments may come up, but his service to the Lord is never impeded. Right? It may be the secondary aspect that you're using, that may run into difficulties, but the devotion itself never does. Yes.
Can we say that there are two points? Devotion as a secondary means external, and the mood. So if one is disturbed on the certain levels, the service as such will go on, but the mood and concentration might be hindered.
Yes, you could take that. But then you also have the point is that for some, because the mood becomes, then they can't even run with the service.
That's the lower stage.
Yes. Yeah, and then higher than that is when the service will go on, though it may disturb the mind, but the service goes on, so that means one's more steady. But then it comes to the point where that one doesn't get disturbed.
So both.
Yes. Because the devotee engaged in the service of Narayana is always in equilibrium. Vamanadeva asked Bali Maharaj to go to the hellish planets, and Bali Maharaj did not hesitate to carry out the order. A devotee, but that's actually where they were from anyway, so.
To go home.
Yeah, that's all. Promise,
Mary.
Yeah. A devotee actually. Yeah, it means that's been promised, and they've been fighting over it for the last, you know, 100,000 years. So the, yeah, so maybe that's what they were promised. A devotee actually lives transcendentally. Although he may appear to have gone to hell or heaven, he does not live in either place. Rather, he always lives in Vaikuntha. Because the devotee is engaged in devotional service, he actually does not live in any material condition. Thus he prays to take birth as an insignificant insect in the association of devotees. Because devotees are engaged in the service of the Lord, anyone who lives with them also lives in Vaikuntha. So even if you're... even the bug in the house of the devotee is living in Vaikuntha. Right? So then they're special bugs. Adhyaya Pakashika. This chapter describes how Lord Vishnu, desiring to advertise the glories of Bali Maharaj, arrested him from not fulfilling his promise in regard to the Lord's third step. Right? Because he's already been glorious for just agreeing to the charity. And then the Lord, in giving charity, then how his charity is even beyond what he was glorified for. So such great glorification for just following his duties and being a nice guy. But now he'll be for that aspect of devotion, because they'll take it that, oh, even though he knew he was the enemy, but still you agreed to give him charity, so he's a great person from that platform. But they're still looking at it basically from the material platform. But that platform is very rare, therefore they comment it, just like on Bhishma Dev. That's a rare thing to do. Therefore, then they comment that he got that glory. So, but here now the Lord will bring out his glory as a devotee. And that principle that's beyond what even the demigods are able to do, because they want their place back. Right? Well, he goes down to the hellish planets without any problem. The demigods are grumpy. Right? So. With the second step, the Supreme Personality of Godhead reached the topmost planet of the universe, Brahmaloka, which he diminished in beauty by the effulgence of his toenails. Thus Lord Brahma, accompanied by great sages like Marichi and the predominating deities of all the higher planets, offered humble prayers and worship to the Lord. They washed the Lord's feet and worshipped him with all paraphernalia. Rikshiraj Jambavan played his bugle to vibrate the glories of the Lord. When Bali Maharaj was deprived of all his possessions, the demons were very angry. Although Bali Maharaj warned them not to do so, they took up weapons against Lord Vishnu. All of them were defeated. However, by Lord Vishnu's eternal associates, and in accordance with Bali Maharaj's order, they all entered the lower planets of the universe. Understanding Lord Vishnu's purpose, Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu, immediately arrested Bali Maharaj with the ropes of Varuna. When Bali Maharaj was thus reduced to a helpless condition, Lord Vishnu asked him for the third step of land. Because Lord Vishnu appreciated Bali Maharaj's determination and integrity, when Bali Maharaj was unable to fulfill his promise, Lord Vishnu ascertained that the place for him would be the planet Sutala, which is better than the planets of heaven. Because the subterranean heavenly planets, they actually demand more facilities than the heavenly planets. So, but there's the prestige of the heavenly planets. But otherwise, as far as facilities go, they have more in the subterranean than there. But the problem is they don't have the sun, and so that may have some effect, maybe. Yeah. So how that works, I'm not sure. So there's some there's more of a prestigious thing there. Or maybe they just like sunbathing or something. That's why they go up there. Okay. Go. Okay. Good. Oh, just. Okay. So, Shloka Nisharna. Summary of verses, verse 1 to 8. Lord Brahma worships Vamanadeva. 9 to 25. Bali Maharaj forbids the demons from attacking. 26 to 34. Garuda ties up Bali Maharaj. Verses 1 to 8. Lord Brahma worships Vamanadeva. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, when Lord Brahma, who is born of a lotus flower, saw that the effulgence of his residence, Brahmaloka, had been reduced by the glaring effulgence from the toenails of Lord Vamanadeva, he approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Brahma was accompanied by all the great sages, headed by Marichi, and by yogis like Sanandana. But in the presence of that glaring effulgence, O King, even Lord Brahma and his associates seemed insignificant. Among the great personalities who came to worship the lotus feet of the Lord were those who had attained perfection in self-control and regulative principles, as well as experts in logic, history, general education, and the Vedic literature known as Kalpe, dealing with old historical incidents. Others were expert in the Vedic corollaries, like Brahma Samhita, all the other knowledge of the Vedas, Sama, Yajur, Rig, and Atharva, and also the supplementary Vedic knowledge, Ayurveda, Dhanurveda, etc. Others were those who had been freed from of the reactions to fruit of activities by transcendental knowledge, awakened by practice of yoga. And still others were those who had attained residence in Brahmaloka, not by ordinary karma, but by advanced Vedic knowledge. Right. So these are all the different methods you can use to elevate yourself. And so the best in these fields, they've come to the perfection, and they've come to Brahmaloka. Right, so the personified Vedas, all these different personalities. So this is what's meant by Sarvadharmam Pariyatyaja. All these different paths, these are the various religions you can elevate yourself. But it's not about these. It's about the devotion to Krishna. So you give up these as your method, and it's just devotion to Krishna. They may be still expressed through these, but it's not about these as the path of religion. It's the path of devotion that becomes the path. After devotedly worshipping the upraised lotus feet of the Supreme Lord with oblations of water, Lord Brahma, who was born of the lotus emanating from Lord Vishnu's navel, offered prayers to the Lord. O King, the water from Lord Brahma's Kamandalu washed the lotus feet of Lord Vamanadeva, who is known as Urukrama, the wonderful actor. Thus that water became so pure that it was transformed into the water of the Ganges, which went flowing down from the sky, purifying the three worlds, like the pure fame of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 4. Here we understand that the Ganges began when the water from Lord Brahma's Kamandalu washed the lotus feet of Lord Vamanadeva. But in the fifth canto it is stated that the Ganges began when Vamanadeva's left foot pierced the covering of the universe, so that the transcendental water of the causal ocean leaked through. And elsewhere it is also stated that Lord Narayana appeared as the water of the Ganges. The water of the Ganges, therefore, is a combination of three transcendental waters, and thus the Ganges is able to purify the three worlds. This is the description given by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, right? So the Lord himself is the Ganges. It's the Karanadak ocean, or the Viraj, like that. And it's also the water that washed the lotus feet of the Lord from Lord Brahma's Kamandalu. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, Lord Brahma and all the predominating deities of the various planetary systems began to worship Lord Vamanadeva, their supreme master, who had reduced himself from his all-pervading form to his original form. They collected all the ingredients and paraphernalia for his worship. Srila Prabhupada comments, Vamanadeva first expanded himself to the universal form and then reduced himself to the original Vamana Rupa. Thus he acted exactly like Lord Krishna, who, at the request of Arjuna, first showed his universal form and later resumed his original form as Krishna. The Lord can assume any form he likes, but his original form is that of Krishna, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. According to the capacity of the devotee, the Lord assumes various forms so that the devotee can handle him. This is his causeless mercy. When Lord Vamanadeva resumed his original form, Lord Brahma and his associates collected various paraphernalia for worship, with which to please him. So also that aspect, if we say, probably gives that point, he reduced him from self from he had reduced himself from his all-pervading form to his original form. So the all-pervading form, that's the point, so that it's a form, that's the point that's imaginary. Because all those aspects are all on the body of the Lord, so within that form. But the point is those all-pervading aspects come from originally from his form. So that means is when we say the water comes from his waist, and that's where all these things come from, originally. But that we're seeing them in their generic form, that universal form, that you can say is an imagination. But the point is it means it can be perceived within the mind. Because we take an imagination means it's untruth. But it doesn't mean, no, it means it's perceived by the mind. Yes?
All pervading means also Brahman.
Yes, but all those aspects are all... So the all pervading aspect is a lot of stuff. Right? But the point is it's still coming from him, so it has all the qualities, but they're generic qualities. That's why we say impersonal. That's why the impersonal is based on the personal. Because he, let's say, he is very chivalrous. So that's the personal form. But then chivalry is the generic form. That's the impersonal. You understand? So that means all other aspects of chivalry come from that universal form. That makes sense. Yes.
Can we say that because this form is not eternal, that's why it's imaginary also?
Yes, you could also say. Means its origin is original, but its manifestation so that it's the material phenomena, yes, will be temporal.
Because we see just few instances in the Shastra, it mentions.
Yes.
You know, a few times Mahabharata, a few times in Bhagavatam, it's not like...
No. There are those who meditate on this in connection with the Lord. So those kind of yogis, they're known as Harandyagarbhis. They go to Brahmaloka, like that. Yeah. Then there's yogis who meditate on the super soul. So it appears that there's a few kinds of yogis, like that. So then there are some who meditate on this aspect. But it would appear it's a lower aspect than those who are yogis. Because it appears that the Harandyagarbhis, they enter into Brahma's body. But it appears that the yogis, they don't. Like that. Mm-hmm. They just go to Brahmaloka. Okay. But there was some exact description given. I think it was second canto. Shishumara. In the
Shishumara.
They go over the Shishumara or?
They meditate on it.
Oh, they meditate upon the dolphin. That's why they.
It's nice meditation.
Yeah. That's why it's the higher, you know, these people are always, you know, about the dolphins and all that.
Inviting your finale.
Yes.
Yeah. You should have one next to the temple.
Yeah, full of dolphins.
Yeah.
Like they have, that one that they had in, the big one in Dubai. That's, I think, the biggest you can walk through in that. I think something happened, cracked or something weird. They had a bit of a problem.
Yeah. We have dolphins in Ganga.
Yeah. Remember the first time I didn't know about them. The first time I went out in the Ganges and I was out there quite a ways, and one of them went up next to me and made the sound. I didn't see it, or just came in like that. That's when you understood about the yogic city of walking on water. I don't know. It's so quick. I was back on the land. But, you know, then people explained they were dolphins.
So, yeah. It's sharks.
Huh?
Sharks.
Yes. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued. They worship the Lord by offering fragrant flowers, water, padya, argya, and sandalwood pulp, and aguru pulp. Incense, lamps, fused rice, unbroken grains, fruits, roots, and sprouts. Well, see, even sprouts are old. Right? You're thinking that that's the newest, latest thing. Sprouts. They were offering sprouts. No, Brahma was offering sprouts. Yeah, but I'm saying this is before food freaks. It's all these things. Because the food freaks don't get into aguru pulp or sandalwood pulp. So. While so doing, they offered prayers indicating the glorious activities of the Lord and shouted, Jaya, Jaya. They also danced, played instruments, sang, sounded conch shells, and beat kettle drums. In this way, worship the Lord. Jambavan, king of the bears, also joined in the ceremony, sounding his bugle in all directions. He declared a great festival for Lord Vamanadeva's victory. 6-8. Verses 9-25. Bali Maharaj forbids the demons from attacking. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, when the demoniac followers of Maharaj Bali saw that their master, who had been determined in performing sacrifice, had lost all his possessions to Vamanadeva, who had taken them away on the plea of begging 3 paces of land, they were very angry and spoke as follows. This Vamanadeva is certainly not a Brahmana, but the best of cheaters, Lord Vishnu. Assuming the form of a Brahmana, he has covered his own form, and thus he is working for the interests of the demigods. Our Lord, Bali Maharaj, because of his position in performing the yajna, has given up the power to punish. Right, because if you're doing the yajna, I guess then that means that's one of the things you don't do. You do everything because you're under vrata. So therefore, certain things you don't do. But at the same time, you're not affected by things. If you're doing vrata, let's say, like the impurity. Let's say like someone dies in the family, so that falls on those who are in their regular occupation. But someone doing a vrata, it doesn't fall on them. So, you know, there's different rules for them. Taking advantage of this, our eternal enemy, Vishnu, dressed in the form of a brahmachari beggar, has taken away all his possessions. Our Lord, Bali Maharaj, is always fixed in truthfulness, and this is especially so at present, right? Because that's how they took over the heavenly planets, because of the good qualities. Since he has been initiated into performing a sacrifice, you know, so it's especially now. And these, remember, these are the demons talking, right? So they have faith in all this Vedic stuff. He is always kind and merciful towards the Brahmanas, and he cannot at any time speak lies. Therefore, it is our duty to kill this Vamanadeva, Lord Vishnu. It is our religious principle and the way we serve our master. Right? So yeah, everything's good up to this point, and then they make, then it's okay, demons. That's the whole thing. Is there's so much karma. So that's the whole point, is karma goes up to a particular point, then it stops. Jnana goes up farther than that, then it stops. Then bhakti goes beyond all of them. So that's the
modern culture doesn't go anywhere.
Yes, that it doesn't go anywhere. Yeah, going somewhere would be, you know, it doesn't yet. It is our religious principle. Yes, after making this decision, the demoniac followers of Maharaj Bali took up their various weapons with a view to killing Vamanadeva. O king, the demons, aggravated by their usual anger, took their lances and tridents in hand. So they're living in more facility than the heavenly planets, but because being angry is their constant, usual position, then how much they can actually enjoy it. They demand more, but they actually get less out of it. Okay. They took up their lances and tridents in hand, and against the will of Bali Maharaj, they pushed forward to kill Lord Vamanadeva. O king, when the associates of Lord Vishnu saw the soldiers of the demons coming forward in violence, they smiled. Taking up their weapons, they forbade the demons to continue their attempt. Nanda, Sunanda, Jaya, Vijaya, Prabala, Bala, Kumuda, Kumaksha, Vishvakshena, Patatriyat, Garuda, Jayanta, Shutadev, Pushpadanta, and Satvata were all associates of Lord Vishnu. So these are all doorkeepers themselves. I think you're Nanda, Sunanda, Jaya, Vijaya, Prabala, Kumuda, and Kamudaksha. They're the ones at the 4 main entrances, like that. So those 8 and then these others. Vikshvasena is the commander-in-chief of the Vaikuntha army. Then Garuda himself, he's an army, just a one-man army. Jayanta, Shutadev, Push, and then others like this. They were as powerful as 10,000 elephants, Naga, Ayuta, Prana, and now they began killing the soldiers of the demons. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments to verse 17. In order to show the frightful nature of offending the devotees of the Lord, expansions of Jaya and Vijaya fell from Vaikuntha. Footnote 5. The original forms remained in Vaikuntha, and in the present pastime they assisted the Lord in the fight. Their expansions, playing the roles of demons, stayed in the material world until Krishna liberated them. So many things going on. So they had already been there before, and then they, you know, so yeah, it's all happening. This has been explained in the description of Vaikuntha in the third canto. Nagas are elephants which move around Loka mountain range. Footnote 6. On the top of Loka mountain are the four Gajapatis, the best of elephants, which were established in the four directions by Lord Brahma, the supreme spiritual master of the entire universe. The names of those elephants are Rishabha, Pushkara, Chuda, Vamana, and Aparajita. They are responsible for maintaining the planetary systems of the universe. Srimad Bhagavatam 520, 39. Nagas are elephants. Oh, that's the meaning of Naga Ayuta Prana, because you might say, is that, you know, okay. These elephants.
10,000 of those.
10,000 of those elephants. Oh, that's way stronger than 10,000 of these elephants.
Are these the same elephants which came from the churning of the milk ocean of Bhagavata?
No, I think that was it? I don't think they... Airavata, I think it's Airavata and heavenly elephants.
Airavata and the heavenly elephants.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think it was these, because these, it says, was established by Lord Brahma.
Mm-hmm.
So that means it didn't mention. Unless when they came at that point and then Lord Brahma gave them that service. You'd have to look back and see if they're... Yeah, it's said that sometimes when they spray water and stuff, and so sometimes when there's no clouds and you feel just some just that light rain, you know, just one shot like that, that's from that water sprayed by these elephants. Like that. So if you ever get that, that's auspicious. Yes, that's good. Or they are elephants who are vibhutis of the Lord in Vaikuntha. Okay, so the different qualities of the Lord. So different aspects are there. You can take it in all these different ways. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, when Balimar saw that his own soldiers were being killed by the associates of Lord Vishnu, he remembered the curse of Sukracharya and forbade his soldiers to continue fighting. Balimar said, Viprachitti, O Rahu, O Nemi, please hear my words. Do not fight. Stop immediately, for the present time is not in our favor. O Daityas, by human efforts no one can supersede the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can bring happiness and distress to all living entities. The Supreme Time Factor, which represents the Supreme Person, was previously in our favor and not in favor of the demigods. But now that same time factor is against us. No one can surpass the time representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by material power, by the counsel of ministers, by intelligence, by diplomacy, by fortresses, by mystic mantras, by drugs, by herbs, or by any other means. Right? All these are mentioned because we'll say, no, but, you know, we get together, we decided, you know, we're a group, we can do this, but it's already covering. No, when time changes, then that's just the way it is. That's why you perform your duties to the best of your ability in the situation, and however it is, you just move with that because time is moving.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, Daiva means this.
The? Which?
Daiva.
Daiva, yes, Daiva. Because time is Krishna. Previously, being empowered by providence, you defeated a great number of such followers of Lord Vishnu. But today, those same followers, having defeated us, are roaring in jubilation like lions. 18-23. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments, seeing that the demons covered with ignorance could not understand philosophy, Bali then gave inspiring instructions which they could accept. Previously, the devatas had been defeated by you, who had great strength by fate. Right, so he talks about the Supreme Lord and not catching that, so he talks about time factor and all this and that. Yes, it goes, and therefore for fate it goes this way and that. Because, see, they had why he saw, because he saw that, okay, the curse of Sukracharya. So, by the blessing of Sukracharya, then the time factor gave them the facility they took over the heavenly planets. But now with the curse of Sukracharya, now that's been removed, it's going the other way, so it's going back this way. So he's telling them, don't even bother, because it's been removed. Due to the curse of Sukracharya, therefore the time factor has, you know, Daiva has changed, so therefore we don't get the, we can't get the benefits. There's no use in trying. They could try, but it won't work out very good. especially when any one of them could destroy them all. But for fun, they're all having a battle. Right? It's fun. Bali Maharaj continued, "Unless providence is in our favor, we shall not be able to gain victory. Therefore, we must wait for that favorable time when our defeating them will be possible." Sukadeva Goswami continued, "O King, in accordance with the order of their minister, Master Bali Maharaj, all the chiefs of the demons and the daityas entered the lower regions of the universe, to which they were driven by the soldiers of Vishnu." Verses 26-34. Garuda ties up Bali Maharaj. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "Thereafter, on the day of Somapana, after the sacrifice was finished, Garuda, king of the birds, understanding the desire of his master, arrested Bali Maharaj with the ropes of Varuna." Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, "Garuda understood the Lord's intentions. Garuda thought, having accepted all of Bali's possessions, my master now desires to accept Bali's very self. Unable to pay his debt, the Lord will become Bali's doorkeeper. In order to broadcast to the world the Lord's dependence on his devotee and the excellence of his devotee, I will show everyone Bali's indestructible fortitude by punishing him." Thus Garuda bound him up. Sutye Ahani means on the day of pressing Soma. You get the idea that the yajna continued.
Yeah, that's my impression.
Yeah, the yajna continued, but then at this point when it must be the end, because he's on Vrata, so he does all these things. And so he didn't fight and all these things, and then when that's done now at this point, now Vrata's over. And so now he can. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "When Bali Maharaj was thus arrested by Lord Vishnu, who is the most powerful, there was a great roar of lamentation in all directions throughout the upper and lower planetary systems of the universe. O King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadeva, then spoke to Bali Maharaj, the most liberal and celebrated personality, whom he had arrested with the ropes of Varuna. Bali Maharaj had lost all bodily luster, but he was nonetheless fixed in his determination." Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 28. Oh, no, we won't get verse that comment. We'll stop here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.